Hello, hello.
All right. So today is, I got the date right, 22nd of October. This is the last lecture with new material before the midterm. Monday will be a review where we'll go over the sample midterm, bring your questions so we can go over them, make sure you really, you know, get it. So Wednesday it'll be like, oh, la, 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 gotta go. Get ready for Halloween party. All right, so that's the plan coming up. Today we're mostly going to focus on these little halting problem loops. So if you saw examples of that on the sample midterm and also the current homework, this would be a great time for us to practice that. I don't have a lot of material prepared on it, but we'll just kind of wing it and try different things. I'll pose them out to you. You see what you can figure out. You can ask me questions. How would it change if such and such? It'll be a blast. All right, what else we got? So I made a new in-class clicker policy. We'll see if this has any impact. This is always very fun because you guys are so smart and clever that any rule that I come up with, you find a way around it. So new rule, this way I get to see you do something else clever. So the new rule is any question you click on in class gets full credit for that question, whether you get it right or wrong. However, if you get it right, you get an extra bonus point on top of that. There's no way that you can do any better by doing them on Sakai online, because in Sakai, if you get them right, you get 10. If you get them wrong, you get 7. But so we'll see if that changes anything. All right, so let's see what else. Once again, homework 3 is out. The practice midterm is out. You should be looking at those and getting them done. It seems like Rutgers created a new thing this year that you may find very useful. If you have not yet heard about this, let me be the first to tell you the good news. There's a website called finalexams.rutgers.edu that you tell it the course, and it tells you when the final for that course will be. Now, why does Rutgers need a special website to tell you something that should be very, very obvious? The answer is without this, the previous, all the years that I've been at Rutgers, what they do is they have this very complicated set of rules that says, if you are in a class that meets on this campus at this time on this day of the week, then you're in this group and it's this day and this time for the exam. And they have this big, long, complicated list with lots of exceptions, like unless it's a biology lab that meets on a Thursday and you are, you know, taller than 6'4". I mean, there's just all these crazy things you have to apply. And so each year, what I would do is I'd put off doing it. And finally, the final would be creeping up. I'm like, all right, I have to figure this out. Then one year they changed, like classes start at different times on different campuses. So the website that lists the exam times were all with respect to one campus, which was not the campus that I was on. So the start time for my class didn't match any of the rules. So I had to find another webpage that told me how to connect up the time. Anyway, it was a drag, but now that's no longer an issue. Just go to that webpage, type it in, and I have done for you for this class. It turns out it is December 19th, noon, right here. So for your other classes, you should be able to go there and find out what's going on, unless you already know that. I was very glad to learn about this, because it really was a hassle. Any questions or anything before we jump in? We're going to do 3 clicker questions on loops, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about loops and halting. And that should be fine for now. Okay, I'm hoping you have more questions on Monday, or else it's going to be a really long hour and 20 minutes of us just kind of staring at each other. Yeah, I say that, and you're clever, so you're like, if he's just going to stare at me, I just won't show up. I'll bring Halloween candy or something. Please come. All right, let's see, what do we got here? Size is not very good. I can drag this down. I don't know if you guys. Is that too small? Alright, so, question. Start. Alright, so here's the question. For what value, so this is a little scratch script. It says set count to ? And we're going to imagine different things that we could fill in there. And then it's going to do repeat until count less than 20, play sound, pop, and wait, change count by minus 1. Okay, so it's a little scratch script. If I started this going, it may be that it runs for some finite amount of time and then stops, or it may be that it runs forever. If it stops after any number of iterations, but it stops, that's called halting. So the question is, what values do we put in for this question mark so that this scratch script will halt? It will eventually stop running. Choice A is all values. That's to say, it always halts no matter what value you stick in for the question mark. B is no values, which means no matter what we stick in here, it's going to run forever. It's going to run infinitely long. Choice C is any number that we stick in that's smaller than 20, strictly smaller than 20, will cause this thing to stop. But anything bigger than that will cause it to run forever. D says all numbers larger than 20. And E says all integers larger than or equal to 20. So 20, 21, 22, 23 would cause this to halt. So which of these choices is correct? Anybody still need a little bit more time? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stopping. Okay. All right, so let's see what's going on here. So it says set count to question mark, repeat until count becomes less than 20. So it's as long as count is bigger than or equal to 20, it's going to keep going around this loop, popping and then making count one smaller. But if you think about that, since count is getting one smaller each time it goes through, eventually it's going to have to be less than 20, right? No matter where we start, eventually it will have to get to be less than 20. So no matter what value we stick in for the question mark, this will eventually halt. Okay. Now the thing that sometimes, let's see what the graph was. Okay. So more people chose C, all numbers smaller than 20. So all numbers smaller than 20 will cause this thing to stop right away. It won't pop at all. But any number bigger than 20, it will pop some number of times. Actually, that number minus 20 rounded up. But then it will halt. So halt here means eventually stop running. It doesn't mean stop without doing anything. Okay. So it is true that all numbers smaller than 20, it will halt. But in fact, all numbers, it will halt. Okay. That. Any questions about that? So what would be nice is if we had the clicker thing that instead of their clicker question, this, it would actually like show me names. So I could say, oh, so-and-so, you got the wrong answer. Can you tell me why? What's that?
The answer's A.
Yeah, it will halt for no matter what number we stick in for question mark, it will eventually halt. Now, so there's two possible explanations for being confused about this one. One is you don't see why it would eventually stop, in which case I can run the script and we can watch it and I think you'll have a better idea. And we'll do a bunch of examples like this throughout this class. Or you just didn't know what I meant by halt, right? And by halt, again, it means run for some finite amount of time and then stop. You could tell me what you were thinking of and that would help me, or you could just sit in silence. You weren't sure what I meant by halt. Halting means eventually getting to the end and stopping. Yeah?
I think you just put the word eventually.
Eventually. There, I've said it. I'll type it.
It won't benefit you now, but it'll benefit somebody sometime. For what values does this scratch script, of course now we're going to run on the second line. Eventually, I did it wrong. Scratch script. Eventually script halt. Now, of course, the whole display is messed up. So that sort of work. All right. So the next two questions are exactly the same, and again, I mean eventually, Hall. All right, so this is now a new question, very similar loop, exactly the same choices, exactly the same question, but the loop, the script is a little bit different. So now the question is, now it says set count to ? Repeat until count greater than 20, play sound pop and wait, change count by -1. So what is this guy going to do?
When you say halt,
yes,
does that mean it has to start first?
The script as a whole will start as soon as I click on it.
Okay.
That may do nothing. It may just like think for a second and then go away. It may not do any pops, but that it still ran and halted. The only distinction I'm making is between halting, which means it eventually stops running, and not halting, which means it runs forever. It just keeps going and never ever stops. In Scratch, we'd have to click on the stop sign to make it, you know, behave itself.
You mean that it will start and then stop, not just doesn't start at all?
The only distinction is between never ever stop, because it's running forever, or not that. So halting means if I start it, it stops. I start it just by clicking on it. It may be that it doesn't pop, it may be that nothing interesting happens, but it still runs and halts. I mean, another thing you could imagine is what if I could stick another statement at the bottom of this loop that says, I've halted, right? You'd like say, I've halted, right? And so the question is, would it ever reach that statement? Would it ever say, I've halted? Or will it just keep going around this loop over and over and over again, never progressing to the next block? Still some amount of confusion as evidenced by the kind of broad set of guesses, but a little bit more up on the D. So let's see what happens with this one. So we start off, we set the variable count to some value, and what it's going to do is it's going to repeat until that value is bigger than 20. So if it starts out bigger than 20, it doesn't have to repeat anything. It just stops right away. But if it is bigger than 20, no, sorry, if it's 20 or less, it'll pop and then get even smaller. So if it starts out at 20, it's going to pop at 20, and then it's going to become 19, which is still not greater than 20. So it'll pop again and get even smaller. It's going to keep running forever. So if we start it at any value that's less than or equal to 20, this is going to run forever. It will only halt if we start it out, if count is set to something bigger than 20, which is, in fact, what the majority answer was. But I'm hoping, but that wasn't even half the class. So I'm hoping that half of you that I was able to clarify a bit with that explanation. Anything else I could say? Any questions that I could answer about that? Right, so you get the idea that if it starts out at a value that causes it not to pop, it just runs right through the loop and jumps out at the bottom, then it halted. The only way that it doesn't halt is if it just keeps going around this loop forever without stopping. And that will happen in this case if you start out with a number less than or equal to 20, because each time around the loop, the count's getting smaller. So it's getting further and further away from the stopping zone, right? It only stops if it's greater than 20. All right. Once again, I'll add the eventually in. So once again, very similar structure, same question, same choices. The difference is now we set count to some value, and we're going to figure out which values will make it halt and which ones won't. We're going to repeat until the count equals 20, exactly. As long as it doesn't, it's going to pop and decrease the count by 1, right? Add -1 to the count. So for what values of the initial question mark will this eventually halt? Winding down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stopping. All right, so this one's a little weirder than the others because it only stops when the count exactly hits 20. And for it to exactly hit 20, given that it's counting down by 1 each time, it has to start out either at 20 or some other number bigger than 20 that is an integer. If it starts out as some in-between number, it's going to go down and it might actually miss 20. It might go from 20.5 to 19.5, never hitting 20 exactly and therefore never stopping. So it will only halt for integers larger than or equal to 20, which is the majority answer, actually by quite a bit. So in some sense, this is actually the hardest of them because it's sort of the most complicated answer, but the class did better. All right. Okay. All right, switching over to the lecture. We're going to go over a couple more of these, but please try to ask questions about it because I know that not everybody's 100% confident on this yet. And so... yeah, so it would be great if you felt really solid on these. Okay. All right, so where we left off last time. Last time I talked about several well-known mathematical results that showed that certain things are impossible. It's impossible to put the fractions and decimals in one-to-one correspondence. It's impossible to define sets in some arbitrary self-referential way. And it's impossible to create a program that solves the halting problem. And since we know that this is true, there's questions about, well, what does it really mean? What are the implications of this? And some philosophers have said, well, it has some very, very deep and important implications. For example, people can tell if a program is going to halt. They can look at it and reason about it and think about it. And since people can tell and programs can't, that must mean that people are fundamentally more powerful or intelligent or whatnot than computers. And I don't really buy this argument at all. It's not clear to me how all these things follow. So in particular, what I'd like to do is show you a loop that's a lot like the loops we've been looking at, but has a couple twists in it. It's a very famous loop called, one name for it is the Kolass problem. Another name for it is the 3x plus 1 problem. And if you haven't seen this, has anybody seen this before? Probably not. Maybe. Have you seen it before? Oh, you're going to love this. This is really cool. This is one of these things that you can just like while away the hours just doodling in your notebook about if you're of that kind of person. So here's the game. You start off with a number. You write down any number. We'll stick to integers. So any integer, any positive integer. So, like 5. Let's actually do this, because then it's much more real than me just saying random numbers. So we're going to start off with the number 5. Is that a good choice? Let's do 7. We'll do 7. Because 5 is already in there. All right, so you pick any number. We'll call it 7.
All right, and now we've got a rule. It says, here's what we're going to do. Take the number, and we're going to change it into a new number. If it's even, divide it in half. 7's not even, so we won't do that. Otherwise, triple it and add 1. Okay, so triple 7 and add 1. So that's 7 times 3 is 21, plus 1 is 22. Oh, okay, that's not a great choice either. Is that right? How about 6? So this should go to 22, so that's fine. But let's try 6. So 6 is even, so we have it. We go to 3. 3 is odd, so we triple it and add 1. So 3 times 3 is 9, plus 1 is 10. So that takes us to 10. All right, 10 is even, so we have it. Oh, we should be up there now. 5 is odd, so we triple it and add 1, so 16. 16 is even, in fact it's a power of 2. So we have it, we get 8, which is still a power of 2. We have it, we get 4. We have it, we get 2. We have it, we get 1, and the game stops. Okay, so there's a rule, let's say that, continue until 1 is reached. Okay, so that's the game. And if you can see, the numbers do these sort of weird things. They wander down, they wander up, they wander down. They kind of move all over the place. It's sort of hard to predict exactly where the numbers are going to go. So here's a loop that implements exactly this idea. The collapse problem says set x to some value. So I set it to 22. I could have set it to 6 or 7 or 1,000. And what it does is it repeats until x is 1 or x is less than 2. It's going to tell us what value of x is. Then it's going to say if x mod 2 is 0, in other words, if it's an even number, if dividing x by 2 leaves no remainder, then set x to x over 2. We have it. Otherwise, else, set x to 3x plus 1. Go back up and do the loop again. Nice little loop, fits on the screen, easy to write in Scratch. And now the question comes, the same question that we've been asking before. If we put a question mark on top of that 22 there, for what values of question mark is this guaranteed to halt? Is it all values of question mark? All like positive values? Anything bigger than 1? Integers greater than 1? Or are there some integers for which this goes into an infinite loop? There's two ways it can go into an infinite loop. Either there's some pattern of numbers where if you keep applying this rule, it goes through the numbers and then ends up coming back to one that it already visited. It's not impossible. Or it could also be that you go through this pattern and the numbers just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So it never repeats, but it never stops either. The numbers just keep getting larger. Perfectly reasonable question asked about a very, very small program. We can ask all kinds of people all over the world, and people cannot solve this halting problem. This problem's been open for a very long time. Nobody knows. Is there a value that you could stick in instead of 22 that would cause this to go into an infinite loop? Nobody knows. What does that mean? It means, you know, it's not so obvious that people can solve the halting problem. They've been trying for a long time, and they cannot figure out if this stuff. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's a Wikipedia page about this, because it's a Wikipedia page about everything. But what I've read about it basically says that people have been so obsessed by this problem that they've written computer programs. This predates computers by quite a bit. But people have written computer programs, since now computers can check a lot more numbers than we can do by hand. And they guarantee that they know that if there is such a number that causes this to go into an infinite loop, it has more than 15 digits. So they've actually been able to show that all numbers with 15 or fewer digits, right, all, you know, the billions, the trillions, they're all smaller than that. None of those go into an infinite loop. They all eventually get to 1 and it stops. But they don't know. Well, maybe there's a 50-digit number. Maybe there's a 1,000-digit number. No one's been able to figure it out one way or the other. So to me, what this points out, you know, even very, very simple, little, almost toy-like examples can make it very difficult for people to solve the halting problem. So I don't, you know, it's nice to be all high and mighty, but to me, since nobody knows if this halts, we can't say, oh, computers, they're so dumb, they can't solve the halting problem. Because I think it's not so obvious that we can either. So this doesn't really separate people and computers. Very cute, though. All right. Any comments or questions about that? We can run this for a couple different values. We'll do that in a minute. Actually, why don't we do it now? Let's get Scratch up and running. All right, so I'm going to make a random sprite. Where is she? There she is.
All right, so we've got a sprite from the sprite collection. She'll be our Colstat sprite. And we'll give her a script. Move her over here. All right, so let's make this loop. So if we have some variable, call it I. Okay, call it n. We're going to set n to 22. And then we've got a loop that says, did I miss it? Where's the repeat code? No. Oh, here it is. Repeat until. Say repeat until n equals 1. And what do? We say, well, if it's even number, we have to have it. If it's otherwise, we triple it and add 1. So if it's even number, oh, here we go. We need if then else. We need to test if it's even. All right, so n mod 2 is the remainder when we divide by 2. If that's 0, it's an even number. Otherwise, it's an odd number. So if it's an even number, we need to set the value of n to be what? What did we say we're going to do? Have it. So we'll take, and will that always be an integer? If you, right, so could this end up giving us a fraction? When we take this number divided by 2, could it give us a fraction?
No.
No? Yes? Yes? No? Why no?
Because if n mod 2 is 0, then if you divide by 2, it will be.
Right, so we're saying if it's an even number, that means it's divisible by 2, then we divide it by 2. So it will be divisible by 2. That was the test. If it's odd, we're going to triple it and add 1. Will that always be an integer? If n is an integer, if we triple it and add 1, is that still an integer? Could we get a fraction out of that? An integer times an integer is an integer. An integer plus an integer is an integer. We're not going to leave the space of integers by tripling it and adding 1. So that's perfectly safe. All right. So the loop is almost done. N. We triple it, so we multiply by 3, no, not 33 easily, and add 1. And I guess we could make it say the value of x as it goes, because that makes it fun. Oh, no, I guess it'll show up over here. So we don't need to do that. All right, so here we go. We start off n at 22, and we run the loop. Watch the value of n as we go. Okay, that was a little too fast. But it did eventually find its way to 16. Once you hit any power of 2, like 16, it's going to go 16, 8, 4, 2, 1. It's just going to have it until it gets down to 1. So that it's done at that point. 150. Oh, see that? It hit 128. Once it hit 128, that's a power of 2. Half, done. It doesn't get, the pops don't necessarily get longer as the numbers get bigger.
It's
It got bigger. It went all the way up to 1,300, 1,200, 1,400. I thought I saw 3,000, 7,000. It may never stop. Is it in a loop? Has anybody seen it repeat yet? It's done. It's so weird. It's all over the place. So, anyway, so this is exactly an example. Does anybody want to pose any other numbers? I have a live thing running now. Yeah. Oh, the wasn't that 7 didn't work? It's that it went to 22, and I had on the slide already what happened after 22, so it seemed like I wasn't going to see anything new that way. Yeah, 7 is fine.
Where did you put a decimal?
It depends how you write the code. In this case, it should sort of wander around 1, I think. No. Oh, you know what the problem is? It's never even. Oh yeah, look, this is e to the, this is a 15-digit number, 14-digit number. All right. So we need to. That's not good. Stop. Thanks for the suggestion. So the problem is, it never hits a number that's divisible by 2, and therefore it just keeps executing. Triple it and add 1, triple it and add 1, triple it and add 1. It's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So yeah, that will go on forever. Which is not the solution to the problem. So. All right, any other thoughts or questions or comments about that? 10,000, all right, we can run 10,000 in the background. And if you hear it stopping, like stop popping, we know that it's done. Okay. It was shorter than 1,000, wasn't it? It's very hard to predict. It's crazy. It's chaos. It's all in the numbers. They're right there. Yeah, it's so complicated. Oh, well, let me show you one other thing with that. So what if we change it? What's magic about 3x plus 1? Why don't we make it 3x minus 1? Mm-hmm. I don't know who came up with the 3x plus 1. I don't know if Kolsatz is the name of the person. Might be. All right, so we'll put in a minus here. We'll say 3x minus 1. Okay. Also seems like it's wandering around.
Yeah.
So what's happening now is, for whatever reason, tripling n or x and subtracting 1 from it, it will run forever for certain inputs. Any ones that are along this loop, all the numbers that you're seeing here have the property that if you follow these rules, you will eventually get back to the number that you started with. And of course, since the process is deterministic, that means the next time through, it's going to do exactly the same thing. And so it is now in an infinite loop officially. I wonder what the smallest number that does that would be. So we did it with 10,000. That seemed a little crazy. 1, yeah, it stops right away. 2, stops right away. 3, what happened with 3? It tripled it to 9, and then subtracted 1 and got 8. 8, 4, 2, 1, stop. All right, so that stopped really fast. 4 we know is going to stop right away because it's a power 2. We're already in a loop. It's a pretty small loop. So the problem is much easier with 3 times n minus 1. So how do they find out that 3n plus 1 gives you this weird, chaotic, unpredictable pattern? I don't know. I'm thinking that in the 1600s they had a lot of time to multiply numbers together. I don't know how they did that. But it's just weird and creepy. Has anyone ever seen a thing called Conway's Game of Life? There's this, it's these little patterns that reproduce on your screen, and there's little gliders, and it was all the rage once upon a time when that was the most complicated thing computers could compute. That guy, Conway, actually looked at the problem of, are there any versions of this rule that you can prove are incomputable? And the answer was yes. There are some versions of this where you can't actually decide whether they will halt or not. There's a way of phrasing the problem so it really is incomputable. Okay, all right. So there's one other thing I wanted to show you in this basic space, which is an odd little routine that I wrote. It's in Python. I don't think you can do this in Scratch, per se. But from any formal self-reference-based proof. Right, so what does it mean? So remember Gödel's proof, and also the halting problem is like this, too. In the halting problem, we wrote a little algorithm called contrary. That what it did is it took it as input a program, and the first thing it said was, is the program that just came in me, contrary? And if it is, then behave one way, and if it's not, then behave a different way. So it had to know whether the input program was itself. So it sort of had to know who it was, which is a sort of weird thing to imagine for a program to have to know. So what does it mean for a program or for a mathematical proof to know who itself is, to be able to reflect on itself? So so here's just a little example that kind of lets you think about that a little bit. This is a program that actually, when you run it, writes itself. And so the output is essentially copied. So here's how it goes. So the algorithm is called Subber, and it takes as input a string. Okay, and then what it does is it runs through the string. This is in Python, which it looks a little bit like Scratch, but it might look a little unfamiliar to you. But it's just, it runs a loop. It runs a loop that goes through every character in the string. And for each one, it does a little test. If the character in the string is 2, the number 2, then it's building up a string. It's taking the old string and building up a new string by substituting in some characters. Wherever it sees a 2, it puts in a quotation mark. Wherever it sees 3, it puts in the whole original string, copied a second time. Whenever it sees a 4, it puts in an end of line. Wherever it sees a 5, it puts in a tab. Whenever it sees 6, it puts in the string backslash n, which means new line, next line. Whenever it sees a 6, it substitutes in, or 7, it substitutes in backslash t, which is a tab character. And whenever it sees 8, it substitutes in backslash. And so there's a routine that does that. And so now what we do is if we actually call this routine, we define a new subroutine called self-print. So in Scratch, we have the, you know, if broadcast, how does that go? When I receive, right? So you make a subroutine in Scratch by saying when I receive name of subroutine. In Python, you say def, which I guess means it's good, right? So def, short for define, it's called, I made a routine called self-print, and what it does is it prints the output of subber applied to this string. Def self-print 4-5 print subber 232. If you run this program, what comes out is exactly the definition of this program. It prints itself. Which maybe doesn't seem so weird, because you've seen programs print things before, so that's not so strange. But what's strange about this is that the thing that it's printing is, it's an exact copy of the thing that it took to run it in the first place. So it's sort of, it has this kind of birth-like process to it. So it's sort of like, you know, a person with another person, another copy of itself growing inside of it. But that one also could make a new person, because a person could grow inside of it. Somehow the instructions for building a whole new subroutine are embedded in the subroutine. So it can make an infinite number of copies of itself in some sense. So it is actually quite weird. And it took me a while to make it do this, because what kept happening is there's a bad joke that goes something like this. Well, I was talking to my class one day, and I told them a story that went like this. I was talking, you know, if I try to tell the story that includes me telling the story, I get stuck. I never get past the introduction. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? Because the story has in it me starting to tell the story, and I have to tell that part of the story too. And it ends up having to be infinitely long, and I never get to the end. So I had to somehow fake that, and the way that I did it is using that special character 3 inside the subroutine there, 3. That 3 stands in for the whole rest of the string. So it outputs that whole thing, and then it outputs itself again, and then it continues.
It's weird. It's just weird. Now, I'm telling you this not because I want you to know how to do this, because I'm going to test you on it or anything like that, or because you're going to need this, like, next Thursday, you're walking down the street and someone says, oh, wow, I wish I knew how to make a program that printed itself. But it's a little bit mind-bending. It's a little bit strange that you could make just sequences of characters. They're just dead symbols, but yet they somehow come alive. They somehow refer to themselves and have whole worlds inside themselves. And it's just, it opens your eyes a little bit to think about that. So that's the weird part of it. So just getting back to the philosophy of it, so since computers can't solve the halting problem, we're smarter, the argument just doesn't work for me. I don't see how it is that computers can't solve the halting problem and we can. Since the halting problem can't be... Oh, so I did see there's a lot of philosophical things that people have said about the halting problem. And this first one I don't buy at all. But I was reading in the New York Times another story that somebody had told about the halting problem philosophically, and it went like this, and I kind of buy this one. This I like. Since the halting problem can't be solved, one cannot reliably predict the future, even when the future is the future execution of a deterministic program. Okay, so we think about this notion of, well, how can we predict the future? Well, it would be interesting if we could, but then you can have these sort of weird things that say, oh, you know, 20 minutes from now I'm going to walk across the street and get hit by a car, so now I should change my behavior so that won't happen. You get these weird paradoxes. Why is this not a problem? How is it that we have free will? If the future's determined, what does it mean that I'm actually choosing to do something? It's just going to happen. Right? Do you have free will, or are you just running some kind of program and it's, you know, you're not really involved at all? Some psychologists have recently said that if you scan people's brains when they make a decision, you can actually look back a couple seconds before they made the decision. There's evidence in the brain about what decision is going to be made. So when the people in the experiment, anyway, actually go and make the choice, that's not when the choice happened at all. It was made long before that. So they have this feeling that they've just made a choice, but in fact it was completely determined by their brain state previously. It makes life seem kind of futile if you get bogged down by this, right? It's like, well, if I can't make any choices, I might as well just kind of stand here. Because it doesn't make any difference, because it's not like I'm choosing to do that, it's just happening. Was that a choice? I don't know if that was a choice. But so some people have said, yeah, well, so the world is completely deterministic, and what's going to happen in the future is already decided in some sense. But since you can't see it, because seeing it would be kind of like being able to predict the output of the halting problem, it sort of doesn't matter that the future is determined, because we still have to use our decisions and so forth to actually get to the point where that happens. So the future is already going to happen, but we don't know how it's going to happen until we actually live it. The only way to predict the future is by actually letting time move forward and getting to this point and say, oh, around now I'd be standing here. Right? And as soon as that's what it takes to predict the future, it's the same as living life, so it doesn't actually change what it means to live life. So the whole thing just comes undone, and it's a lot simpler now. So anyway, I read about this in the New York Times, and I thought, okay, I could get behind that. Sure, maybe I'm just running some program and I'm some automaton, but it doesn't really matter, because the only way to find out what I'm going to do is by having me live my life and having it actually happen, so it's really no different. You can think about that some and see if it keeps you up at night. All right, so the thought at this point is, that's the end of chapter 4. Chapter 5, we're going to start. It's on algorithms. We're going to start that after the midterm. But I would like to spend a couple more minutes on these kind of loopy things so you can see what kind of weird things happen and get used to thinking about them. Because there's a question like this on the homework, and there's a question like this on the final, or the midterm. The final too, but let's not worry about that. Okay. All right. So let's make some loops and see what they do. I'm going to copy this one. Swirl it away. All right. So this one's too complicated. If I ask you this on the test, you have every right to like throw things at me, because that would just be it'd just be so wrong. All right. But we can make simpler ones. Let's make some simpler ones. Ah, the loop got small. What about this? We should be able to do this one. For what initial values that we can plug in here, I'll make it a question mark. For what initial values that we can plug in here,
For what initial values of the question mark, or what now, what things can we substitute for the question mark, so that this loop will eventually halt? All right? So this one is hard. Maybe I should do an easier one first. Does anyone have an idea on this one? You want to see an easier one first?
You just want any integer that will work?
No, I want to know characterize the set of things that we can substitute in for question mark. Precisely which values are going to make this halt and which ones are going to cause it to go into an infinite loop. Well, so I don't know, just for fun, let's actually try a couple of that. What's happening here? It's getting bigger and bigger. It's going in. It's in a loop. All right. So 4. All right. Let's try -4. Okay. That seems to be getting more and more negative. What if we put in 0? All right, so 0, it started out at 0, and then it dove into the negative. Once it gets negative enough, look what happens. We take a big negative number, we triple it, which makes it an even bigger negative number, and then we subtract 1 from it, make it even more negative. So it's just going to keep going in that direction. So far, it seems to go into an infinite loop for all the values that we've tried. What about like a half? Now it's in an infinite loop, but it's a weird one. What just happened here? Can anybody explain what's going on? Wait, go ahead.
3 times a half is 1 half, and then you subtract 1.
And you get a half. So you start out with a half, you triple it, get 1 and a half, subtract 1, you get back to a half. So what's happening is it's taking 0.5, each time through the loop, it's changing it back into 0.5, so it doesn't go anywhere. That's weird. So how would this ever stop?
1.
Well, we tried 1, and it went negative on us really fast. Like a bad campaign, it went negative right away. Oh, wait.
We didn't try 1.
Oh, we didn't try 1. We tried -1? Why is it stopping at 1?
Because 1 equals 1.
Because 1 equals 1. It says, repeat until whatever you put in is 1. And we started out at 1, so it stopped. Are there any other values, or have we just nailed the only 1? Is there some number that we could stick in here that it would apply this rule to at once, changing it into 1 and stopping? So I'm asking you basically a simple algebra question. So n is some value. We want to know for what value of n, if we triple it and subtract 1, we get 1. Well, I don't know, add 1 to both sides. 3n equals 2, n equals 2/3. Interesting. So the claim is that if we started out at 2/3, it'll pop once, 2/3 will turn into 1, and it'll halt. Can we do that? Can we write 2/3? No. It's the wrong what? Oh, I put it in the wrong place. Yeah, that's not why it didn't work then. 2/3. Oh! Really? Alright, what did it just do? I don't think that was really 2/3. It went from 2/3 to 5. I think it thought it was 2. Right? Because 2 times 3 is 6 minus 1 is 5. Alright, so you can't just write a fraction like that. We have to put in decimal form. Alright, this could get tedious. Stub it out. I don't know what will happen. It may not equal exactly 1. Oh, sweet! Alright, so it halts for 1. It halts for 2/3. Is there some number that we could put in for n, so it'll pop once, then n will become 2/3, it'll pop once more, and then n will become 1, and it'll stop. So that's another algebra question. For what value of n is 3n minus 1 equal to 2/3? Okay, so 3, if we add 1 to both sides, that's like, 5/3 divide by 3, we get n is 5/9. Which is like 0.5555555555. Yes?
Will we ever need to get this technical?
I don't know. But you should be ready. Okay, so let's, okay, so maybe this is too much. I didn't know how this was going to turn out until I tried it, so that was why I was trying. But let's do one that I think maybe you ought to be able to do. So the answer is no, I don't expect you to be able to do it. Because I'm not even sure what this series is. I could probably, if I kept doing this, I'd find a pattern. One, and then two-thirds, and then five-ninths, and there's probably a whole series where it'll just kind of fall into some kind of pattern, but I don't see it yet. Yeah.
Can you real quick try 4-4-4?
Oh, in that same loop?
Yeah.
All right, I got to reassemble it. Hang on. So all fours. So we did, because we did all sixes?
Yeah.
Interesting theory.
That's not attached.
Oh, yeah.
It's not attached. Good catch. It is now. Now, it's a little hard to tell because this is not exactly 4/9. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's hitting. Yeah. Good, that was a good theory, though. I like that. Like any point digit repeating. But alas. So yes, no. This was a harder problem. But I figure if you can, you know, if you see some tricks for dealing with the harder problems, you ought to be able to find the easy ones really easy. All right. So, what about let's do one that's more in line with what I expect. All right. Okay. Simplify it a little bit more. All right, here's the loop. All right, so read the loop, try to get a sense of what it's doing. There's a test. It says it's going to keep going until n is smaller than 1. Okay, that's going to be the end of time as far as this loop is concerned. Whenever it's not in that condition, it's going to pop and make n into what? What does this statement here do? It takes n and makes it
n plus 1.
It bigifies it, right? It adds 1 to it. It increases it by 1. It increments it. Bigifies is not a word, but increments is. It's really biggerifies, because it doesn't make it infinitely big right away. It just makes it bigger. All right, so it biggerifies. No, it increments n by 1. It makes n 1 bigger. So if it was 6, it becomes 7. If it was 9, it becomes 10. If it's negative 14, it becomes negative 13. All right, so what does that mean? So it's going to repeat until n gets small, and if it's too big, it's going to make it bigger. So this thing is going to probably spin off to infinity pretty well. So if we started out at 0, it won't run at all. If we started out at negative 10, it won't run at all. So it halts, right? Not running at all, it's still halting. If we started out at 4, it was too big to start, and the loop says pop if it's too big and get even bigger. And, well, that's not going to make it any more likely to stop, right? So it's just going to keep spiraling off to infinity. It'd be nice if there was a way to stop this on the fly. Ha. There it is. All right. So what's the answer for this one? Can anybody spell it out?
All numbers less than 1.
All numbers less than 1, it will halt. What about equal to 1? Equal to 1 will go into a loop. So it really is. It'll halt for anything less than 1, otherwise it won't. So the way that I would ask that is to say, you know, tell me for what values of question mark will it eventually halt? The answer is, you know, n less than 1, or anything smaller than 1. Okay? Now, it changes if we flip this this condition around and say, well, we should repeat until it's too big. So let's say repeat until bigger than 10. Okay? What's this going to do? Right? So as long as repeat until it's bigger than 10. So as long as it's too small, it will pop and make it one bigger, which gets it a little closer to stopping, right? So what values will this halt for? Certainly all values bigger than 10.
All values, period.
All values, period. No matter what value we put in,
it will either be big enough to just stop right away, or it'll be small and get bigger until it's big enough to stop. So no matter what we started off at, it will halt. So just to, you know, in case that wasn't clear, if we started out at 100, or 1,100, it's already big enough. If we started out at minus 10, it takes a little while, but then it gets to 11 and it stops. So no matter what value we put in here, all values, it will eventually halt. A common mistake is to say n greater than 10, because it only stops when n gets greater than 10. But the point is, I'm asking you about the initial value, the value that we stick in here. And that can be any number at all, and it will eventually halt. Okay? Is that clear? Yes.
All of these examples have had a repeat until.
Yes.
Clause, if you will.
Yes.
But the homework one does not.
It doesn't.
So
how rude.
I don't know if that's a mistake.
What does the homework one have?
It has nothing.
If it has no loop, then it probably doesn't go on forever. So that's probably not what you mean.
No, that's not it. I'm sorry.
Not
that it goes
on
forever.
This is homework
three.
Let's go to the videotape. Happy Halloween. Halt or not. Repeat until.
Number one.
Right, so this is a different kind of question. This is not asking for what will it halt. This is asking how many times will it pop until it halts. This will halt. So you want it. So if the question was for what values will this halt, the answer is all of them. Right. Is that true? So there's a repeat num in here. So what this means is repeat this number of times. Whatever num is set to at the moment that this is executed, it will do that loop that number of times. So if this is a 10, it'll do it 10 times. If it's a 11, it'll do it 11 times. If it's 3, it'll do it 3 times. Is that clear? So you have to kind of step through this one and see what num does. It starts out at 1, then when the subroutine gets called, it changes. When the subroutine gets called, it changes. When the subroutine gets called, it changes. Each time it goes to the subroutine, num changes, and there's some number of pops, and you want to figure out. No, you just have to step through it by hand. There's no real reasoning that you have to do on that one. Okay? All right. So if we get all these, I don't know if we get all these, because some fraction of the class is being very quiet. We can turn it into a clicker question. See if it's much clearer now. So let's just do one. We'll turn it around and see if it makes sense. All right, so... No, that's not what I said. Okay, there's a loop. So, the question is... will this halt for... all values of question mark. No values of question mark. Or I want to say some values of question mark. Let's just do that. Some values of question mark. Okay? And if it's some, kind of work out which values, but I'm not asking it in the clicker question. I see some people put their clickers away already. Sorry about that. So there's a loop right here. And the question is, for what values of question mark will that loop halt? Is it all positive? Is it the case that everything I type in for the question mark will cause it to eventually halt? Nothing I can type in will cause it to eventually halt? Or there's some that will where it will halt and some where it won't halt?
The choices? Oh, sorry. Last year my left shoulder was frozen, and this year my right shoulder's frozen, and I don't know which one I like better. It's harder to write high with the right shoulder frozen.
Ah!
All right, stopping in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, so we have a lot of weight on A and C. So somebody who chose C, can you defend that answer? 21 people, yes.
Well, when you put in a value for C, you could put in a positive number, like 10, for example.
Sure.
So when you put in 10, you're going to have to add 2 to it.
Yes.
So that'll become 12, and 12 is obviously greater than negative 14.
Right.
But if you put in a value, say, negative 30.
So you're saying it'll halt for 10.
It'll halt for 10.
All right, so let's, we tried it, and it actually did halt. Okay,
but
good.
If you put in something like negative 30.
Negative 30, good.
Negative 30 plus 2 will become negative 28.
Right.
And negative 28 is less than 14. It's
that's true. So, and then it goes around the loop again.
Yeah, so then it should continue. So I feel like there's certain values where it will work and there's certain ones where it won't work. I think that's all.
Well, remember, working, halting means that it'll eventually stop.
Okay. But I think with, but if you make the, like, the integer larger, like, I'm at a point where it's still going to continue.
It's not. Right. And it will always stop. Right? Why will it always stop? Because no matter how small we started off, we're going to keep adding 2 to it until it gets bigger than minus 14. So the answer for this one is all. Okay, so if we started out, and you broke it down exactly right. The big numbers, it will stop right away. The small numbers, the really very negative numbers, it will start popping. But while it's popping, it's going to increase those values, and it will eventually get bigger than minus 14. So it will halt. For no matter what we stick in, it will eventually halt. Yes?
Can we do a problem, for example, repeat until n is bigger than n plus 1?
Oh, interesting. That was on the...
Yeah, I don't think that was the exact one, but...
It was like that. It was that or very much like that.
We don't have to do the exact one.
No, it's good.
It's not scary.
Yeah, it's
on
the homework. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Come on, get in there. Anybody know any tricks? Why is it? Ah! Okay. Well, n equals n plus 1. Is that the... That's the thought. And how's it changing? Well, let's try this one first. What are we going to do? We're going to increment n, make it 1 bigger? Sure, why not? All right. So, let's start this off. All right, so let's take a look at this loop. What's going on here? So we start off n at some value, and then we're going to say repeat until whatever n is equal to whatever n is plus 1. Then it's going to pop. Well, hang on a second. Then it's going to pop, but then we say, well, set n to be n plus 1. Now it seems like they're equal, right? So then we go back to the top, and now they're equal. No. Why? Because set n to n plus 1 means take whatever in n and make it 1 bigger. So whatever it is, it's now 1 bigger than it was. But that equals says take whatever n is, take whatever n plus 1 is, and ask if those are the same. It can't be the same. There's no number that you add 1 to it and you get the same value out. Addition doesn't work that way. You can't solve, like if I give you the equation, for what values of n does n equal n plus 1? You're going to say, subtract n from both sides, 0 equals 1, something went wrong, right? There is no value of n for which n equals n plus 1. So this will never halt. There's no values that we can stick in here that will cause it to eventually be the case that n and n plus 1 are the same value. Now, if this was greater than or less than, let's try one of those. Where's our greater than when we need it? In numbers. What's that? It could be whatever. All right, so repeat until n plus 1 is bigger than n. All right, so what for what values of n is this going to fall? Well, if we stick in 10, it's going to right away say, well, is 11 greater than 10? Yes, so it just stops right away. We put in, you know, negative 100, it's going to ask itself, is negative 99 bigger than negative 100? Yes. Okay, so no matter what happens, no matter what value of n we start out with, nothing's going to happen inside this loop, because for every value of n, n plus 1 is bigger than n. Doesn't matter what n is. So this will halt for all values of n, for a trivial reason that it's never going to run the inside of the loop. All right, here's one that I haven't tried before. All right, it says, repeat until n times negative 1 is bigger than n. And what should we do when that happens? We could, we'll increment n. We'll just do it like that. All right, so what is this going to do? Okay, that's not good. We started out as a negative number. Stops right away. So for what values of n is n times negative 1 bigger than n? When is n times negative 1 bigger than n? What is n times negative 1? What does that mean? So you take a number, what do you do? What happens to it if you multiply it by negative 1? I heard a voice.
Wasn't me.
It wasn't you, okay. There you are, yes?
It negates itself.
It negates itself, right? If you multiply a number by minus 1, it flips the sign, right? So if it was a negative number, it becomes a positive number. If it's a positive number, it becomes a negative number. It goes to the opposite side of the number line. If it's 0, it's still 0, because 0 times anything is 0. So what does that mean? So for what values, when you negate it, do you get something bigger than what you started with? The negatives, right? Any negative number, if you negate it, becomes a positive number, which would be bigger than the number you started with. So this is saying, repeat until n is a negative number. And if it is, then pop and get to be even more positive. So if it's not a negative number, it means it's zero or positive, and this loop makes it get even more positive. So this will halt for all the negatives, anything less than zero. Question mark less than zero is the answer. Okay, anything else, it will run forever. Because it will say, oh, we're a positive number. It's not the case that negating it makes it bigger. Let's make it even bigger still. Add one to it. It's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If we change this, on the other hand, to... let's flip this around. So now we're asking, repeat until n is bigger than its negation. In other words, repeat until n is positive. So if we start out positive, it stops right away. If we start out negative, it gets bigger, right? This says n equals n plus 1. So it's set n to n plus 1. So it keeps making n one step bigger, and eventually it becomes positive and the loop stops. So the answer in this case is all values of question mark, all values in this box, anything we plug in here, it will eventually halt. There's nothing that we can stick in here that will make it run forever. Okay? What about... All right, so here this says, repeat until 1 is bigger than n, or n is less than 1. Pop, and then halve n. So what is this going to do? So if we started out at 1024, if you watch n, it's going to divide itself in half until it gets down to a half. Any positive number that we start out at, it's going to keep getting halved until it eventually gets smaller than 1. Right? So this will stop for all positive numbers. What about 0? Well, for 0, it stops right away. So that's easy. What about a negative number? A negative number stops right away. So this halts for all values of n as well. Because it's going to stop when n gets small enough, and, well, smaller than a positive number, and it's going to, if it's not, it's going to keep getting halved, and it'll eventually go down below 1. But what about this?
No.
Well, if it's negative, it stops right away. If it's 0, 0 is not bigger than 0, it halves it, and it just it stays the same. So it will run forever if it's 0. If it's positive,
it'll run forever.
It'll run forever. This is like Zeno's paradox, right? Do you know this one, that you start with something and you keep making it in half? You may have done this with dessert. This happens to me with dessert a lot. You're eating dessert with somebody, and you're trying to be nice, and so you've been eating for a while, and now you're down to like one little chunk of cake, and you're like, well, I can't take the last chunk of cake, but I can take half of it. So you take half of it, and you eat it, and the other person's like, well, I can't take the last half. So that person takes a quarter and eats it, and there's only a quarter left, and you're like, well, I'll take a half of that. Anyway, if you once you get into the pattern of it, the dessert lasts forever. And that's what happens with this loop. So if we started out at something like, you know, 8 cookies. Well, it's not displaying enough of the digits. But the value of n is now something like 0.00000026932. And it's just dividing, subdividing, subdividing, but it's never going to hit 0. There's never going to be no dessert left. So this the answer, if this was a halting question, your answer for this ought to be it will halt for any value less than 0. So question mark less than 0, it'll halt. But anything 0 or above, it's going to go into an infinite loop. All right, any last one to try on you guys, and I'll let you go. Let's one more interesting one. We'll call it quits. Hit me. Not literally, no, please seriously. Aw. I really wanted to throw my notebook. Someone rescue the class. Give me something to put into scratch.
1 over n greater than n.
What's that?
1 over n greater than n.
1 over n greater than n.
I'll take that. I don't know what that's going to do. All right, so repeat until 1 over n is bigger than n. And what should we do? Should we add 1 to it?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? All right, add 1 to it. All right, so what if we start this at 0? All hell breaks loose. So it's going to try to do 1 over 0. It's going to try to divide by 0, which sucks. I don't even know what scratch does when you do that, because it's generally pretty friendly, but I wouldn't be surprised if it actually got up and slapped me across the face. Oh, look what happened! Holy crap! So when all hell breaks loose, it actually turns red. You see, the script is now outlined in red as if to say, bite me. Please don't divide by 0. What have I ever done to you? All right, so did it halt? Sure, let's say it halted. All right, so what happened? What other numbers can we stick in here?
1.
If we put in 1, it's going to say, is 1 divided by 1 bigger than 1? Is 1 bigger than 1? No. It's equal to 1. So it will start increasing n. For big values, for positive values of n, we get something like, you know, 1 over 10, that's going to be a tenth, it's going to be smaller than 10. So this loop is going to go on forever for the positive numbers. No, wait, for numbers bigger than or equal to 1. What about a half? What happens with a half? You guys have to tell me this, but what happens if I put in a half?
It'll stop.
Yeah,
it'll stop.
What's that?
It'll stop.
It'll stop when?
Right away.
Right away. Why? Because 1 over a half is 2. 2 is bigger than a half. It stops right away. And is that true? What if we put in like 0.999999? 0.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 All right, so this is something that's just a tiny bit less than 1. And what it does is it says 1 over that is something slightly larger than 1, which is in turn bigger than 0.999. So anything smaller than 1, it stops right away. Anything 1 or greater, it runs forever because the numbers just keep getting bigger and it never does the task. So the answer to this one would be question mark. It halts for question mark less than 1. Thank you. Goodbye. Great questions on Monday. Have you gone? Sure.
Oh no, this is working.
I just quit stretching.
Алло. Ну что, проснулся? Ага. Yeah.
Alright, so in variables. These are all the variables that have already been defined. If I want a new variable called n, then I do make a variable. Type n.
Okay.
I choose whether I mean this variable to be across all sprites or if it's really just for this one sprite. And if you don't care, you'll just leave it as it is and you say okay. Right, also not n. Count with the answer. Right. So count is just a variable. You can use it as a counter, you can use it as your birthday, you can use it as anything. That's right, variable, you get to name variables. They're for your own, the names are for your own benefit, not for the program. So what makes the fact that it's a counter is because we treat it like a counter.
Okay.
But we can make it any, we can call it anything, we can call it.
Hey, what's up?
Okay.
I don't know, I got that email from my girl too, and I really, really hope not, because honestly, I haven't updated it like in forever, and like, I don't have, like, there's like basically still nothing on it.
Yeah, we talked about that, right? So it's never going to be the case that a number is bigger than itself plus 1. So it'll, yeah, so no matter what you stick in, it's always going to go, oh, still not big enough. No, still not big enough.
Right. For this one, most saying it'll pop once, it repeat once, it means it'll pop and it'll pop again, and then it'll repeat once.
No. No, the total number of repeats. That's how repeat would work. You can try it in scratch, but if you do repeat one something, it'll do this one. All
right.
Yeah, I see the repeat is sort of a funny word in English, but in Scratch it's unambiguous. This is the number of times I want to do what's inside of it.
Okay. And this one, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's our question. Yeah, we're six parity 16 and then 2 knots, 1 or 2 hands, and actually K with
so we can do parity 8. So parity 8, so what's the question? How many knots, ends, and where's the six? Alright, so if it's parity 8...
And the square knots on a separate interrogation needs to be 7 times 2 times 1 times 7.
Yeah, whatever that number is repeated. Yeah, that's right.
Alright, so this would be 15 times 2 times 1. 30. Seems
like
it.
Is it just made out of extras? I should subtract it out of an extra game. We generally parity is extras.
You should multiply that times 15. So 30, 15. So is that what I had to say?
So why do you subtract 1 first?
Because he said K minus 1 is a parity gate.
Yeah. Oh, Franz.
Oh, so then what I had is right?
Franz and Franz.
Oh.
Does that give
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, whatever num is currently set.
Okay, so it's just 2.
That's right.
Times 15, and then 1 times.
Wait.
I guess,
whatever.
Sure.
No, once there's gray space, that means that script ends. So it won't just progress into that unless that script is called. Is that what you're saying? That the answer does this change by 1. It doesn't immediately go over here.
Information I know. Like, what's
only
all,
if somebody broadcasts Han.
Like, is that even relevant? Like, if it's not.
Yeah, it does it here, but then it increments by 1. And then the script ends. But it doesn't call Han's after.
So now I'm just watching.
All Han's breaks loose.
Right. So it calls Franz. What Franz does is it calls Han's, does whatever it's going to do. Uh-huh. When that's done, it comes back up to Franz, which changes num by 1. And then Franz is done. So it goes back to whoever called that. I'll just say what you get.
Sure. So the flow of control, with the second thing, the flow of control is when one of these things get broadcast, it basically says, okay, it's like a side conversation, right? So you're talking with someone for a while, and you're like, oh, you know what, that reminds me. I saw the Phillies win the World Series in 1976. We finished that discussion, and then we go right back to where our old discussion left off. So this basically, this line broadcasts such and such in a way that means, let's have a side discussion according to Franz. When that side discussion's over, then we're back to here and we go to the next step.
So when's the change in the number?
So it changes the, so in the Franz thing, it says, let's have a side conversation about Hans, does whatever it's going to do, then it comes back there and changes num by one.
I think that's right. I think so.
That's right. When this is all over,
it changes the number.
That's right.
Then it goes back to the
You have to remember that these subroutines, when they're done, control comes right back to where it was. That's right. Whoever calls it has to always remember where were we? Where did this conversation leave off? Because we need to go back into it. Yeah.
So when it says end wait, basically it's going to jump down to the next thing, do this thing, and then go back.
That's right. If it didn't say end wait, then in some sense the two things start happening simultaneously.
Right.
But the end wait is like, you know, go do your thing, I'm going to just hang out here, when it's done, then it's my turn again. That's
right. Yeah.
So the wait does kind of give that clue. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, there was a pile of people that evaporated. That's
how long should the Halloween time be?
Yeah.
I think I gave instructions in the sense of it should be long enough that it has an animation, a sound, and an interaction. Is that what I said? I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keyboard interaction. How do you do that? Like you press a button, something will
happen. Yeah. So yeah.
I think it's like it's called like sensing or something.
Uh huh.
You like press K and a dog will want to press.
So look. In the control submenu, there's a thing that says when blank key pressed. So if you drag that into your program, you change it to whatever key you want. Like when U is pressed, then whenever U gets pressed, that script is going
to
run.
Do you want to upload it on the scratch
website? I would love if you'd be willing to do that. Last year, I think no one did it. And they simply uploaded it to Sakai.
Well, how would you even upload
it to Sakai's website or Scratch's website? Oh, okay. Then you do that. But then what you do is once you're on that page on the Scratch website, cut or copy the URL, and then return that as your homework answer, and then the TA can then go to that link and see your program.
But
the thing is, you realize that everyone in the world can see the program if they so desire. It's not private anymore. But it's sort of fun that way. And who cares? Like that, there's privacy, and then there's silly privacy. That's how I do. YouTube what?
YouTube for programming.
Yeah, it's YouTube for this kind of programming. Yeah, it's sort of fun, and then you share it, and so this thing about cards, we actually do this at home, like kids' birthdays and stuff. My kids will make them little animated birthday cards with their voices in it and photographs and little dancing things, and it's sort of a little nicer than the Hallmark ones that are pre-designed.
Yeah.
So I figured let's give everybody a chance to learn that. Some people will actually want to do it, and some people will say, okay, well that was a homework assignment. But whatever. But you'll know how to do it, and then you can share it with people through the Scratch website.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. Sing a song.
Let me turn off the audio.
Your brother just followed. Hey, buddy. for the sing a song.